Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to be together as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, this season where we give thanks to God for all of the goodness that we receive. It is good. I'm glad that you're all here. I'm glad that you're here with us on YouTube. It's just an exciting day to be together. We have some Sunday school bags back there. Yes, we do. We have Sunday school bags. So if there are children here with us, make sure they get a Sunday school bag. If you've got children who are going to come visit you today or this week, make sure that you get them that Sunday school bag. It's a wonderful way for them to hear and to realize how much God really does love them. So we have them in the back. Also, Wednesday, August 11th, for one night only, we have vacation Bible school here at St. John's. That Wednesday evening, beginning about 6 o'clock in the evening, we will have music and games, stories and crafts. They'll all be focused on the story of God's love shown to us through Jonah. So if you have children or grandchildren or neighbor children or stranger children or just, you see, children in the grocery store or whatever, let them know. We have VBS here at St. John's. And if you would like to help with this fun night, please let Joyce Fishball or Sharon Kester know. Join us on Wednesday evening, August 11th, because we're going to have a whale of a good time. Another announcement, I have concerns a table you may have seen if you came in off the parking lot entrance, the thrift shop. Is still in contact with many of the homeless people who are in our area. And the thrift shop would love to continue to send some food items with them when they stop in. But the thrift shop's pantry is pretty bare at the moment, like Mother Hubbard's cupboard. They're looking for donations of the following. Single serving packages of things like tuna and chicken, but they're asking for no spicy flavors, all right? Various other kinds of individually wrapped crackers, fruit cups, any kind of snack food is good. You can drop them off at the thrift shop during work hours from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, or there's a table down in the lobby near the chapel. Thank you in advance for your generosity in this effort. We've gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices to Christians across time and space. So let us continue our worship by please rising. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Our gathering hymn is I Will Follow, and we sing together.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Oh, 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 oh. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight. High above my life, I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you, yeah, I will follow you, yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you, yeah. I will follow you, yeah.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 42. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to Elisha, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, in the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Then Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. He withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat. And they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I grew up in kind of a good-sized family. There were 8 of us kids. There was mom and there was dad. And so my mom got used to cooking some pretty big meals, all right? Sunday dinner, there would sometimes be 2 or 3 chickens. The roast would be of a very good size. 10 pounds of potatoes were having to be peeled and mashed and all the rest of that. As my older siblings all began to leave the nest, Mom, it took her a while to sort of stop cooking that big, all right? Now, by the time I was a teenager, that wasn't a bad thing, you know, with that hollow leg that teenage boys have, except for leftover cooked vegetables. Sorry. But you see, all of that food left over could, it can sometimes be a bad thing. You got this big old meal and then there are leftovers. So I learned from early on how to burp Tupperware to keep the leftovers fresh. Think about it. Leftovers. How do you feel about them? What do you do with your leftovers? Some people just throw them away. Others save the leftovers. Now, some people who save the leftovers do that reluctantly, and some people do that enthusiastically. For me, it kind of depends. Leftover pasta sauce is great because it has a chance, all the herbs have a chance to sort of meld into the sauce, so you have that day after, maybe 2 days after. Oh, that's great, right? Most of the rest of the leftovers are okay. You know, you got to use them in a day or two, but there we are. But you see, I think that one of the things that this morning's gospel story is about leftovers. With one child's lunch, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Now that in itself is amazing and miraculous, but Jesus didn't just feed them with one lunch. They had leftovers, 12 baskets of leftovers. There was more at the end of the meal than there was at the beginning of the meal. And Jesus is showing us all the extravagant generosity of God's love, and that is really amazing. But there's an awful lot of stuff that's going on in today's gospel, and to be honest, we sort of have to work our way up to the leftovers. So first, let's just talk about what's going on. Here in John's gospel, Jesus has been teaching and healing. Wherever he goes, crowds form and they follow. And so now in today's story, there's another large crowd following, listening, bringing the sick in to be healed. The crowd in today's story has been with Jesus and the disciples on a hillside all day. Now it's getting towards evening. It's approaching dinner time, and Jesus presents his disciples and all of us with a challenge. Where are we going to get enough food to feed all these people? That's some challenge, actually. And we see a couple of different responses in this morning's gospel story. Philip's response is practical yet terrified. 6 months' wages couldn't feed them all. And by the way, Jesus, we don't have 6 months' wages here, and there's no place to go and buy the stuff. There wasn't a Costco or a Sam's Club or even a grocery store. We can't do it, Lord, is what Philip is saying. There are just too many of them. So here is Philip providing a sound, practical response to an impossible challenge. Then there is a young boy. The disciples had met him. He has another response. The boy comes to the disciples. He comes to Jesus saying, "I have a lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fish, You can have it. Will that help? This is an amazing, impractical, and yet entirely noble gesture from someone who obviously doesn't get or see the big picture. But it is a response. Now, if you were faced with this challenge, how would you react? Would you react like Philip? I think that most of us could see that situation as kind of hopeless. Or would you react like that little boy? Could you really see what little we have and still see possibilities? Now, maybe on a good day I could, but it's not likely. What other responses could there be to a challenge like this? Running away screaming suggests itself to me, or I could just pretend I didn't hear the question. Huh? You say something, Jesus? Huh? Jesus chooses the young boy's reaction as the most appropriate, and he acts on that one. In this amazing lived parable, Jesus shows us what the kingdom of God is like by having the crowd sit down, and then he takes the lunch and he gives thanks to God. He gives thanks for the bread and the fish. He gives thanks for the people around him, the crowd as well as the disciples. He gives thanks for God's love and the opportunity to share. And then Jesus distributes the food. I don't know what that looked like, but everyone ate. Think about that. Everyone ate. They got more than just a little taste. They got more than just a little piece. It wasn't a crumb. It wasn't like getting a sample at the grocery store in the little itty-bitty pouch or whatever it is. They ate and were filled. And from a boy's lunch, 5,000 were fed. Jesus presented everyone who was there listening to him with a challenge. Where will we get enough? Jesus then shows us all the answer, and the blessed answer of Jesus is that we get enough from God's grace. There is always enough in God's grace. There was an incredible need to be met, and it was practically impossible. Just ask Philip. It was practically impossible, but it was faithfully accomplished. This amazing miracle was accomplished by the faith of Jesus, the power of God's love, and the unselfish gift of a small boy. It didn't take much, and everyone was fed, and all lives were changed. See, this is an important part of this story. You see, every day we are presented with a challenge to love an unlovable world. Where will we get enough is a question that we need to ponder regularly. It is truly practically impossible, but can be faithfully accomplished through Jesus Christ our Lord and the unselfish gifts of people like you and me and so many others. Today, Jesus shows us that it can be done, that the world around us can be touched by the love of God, and there will be leftovers. See, we're back to leftovers, just like I told you we would be. Feeding 5,000 people or more from one lunch is miraculous. And the lesson of faith and generosity, the lesson of giving whatever you have, no matter how insignificant it seems to be, that's all edifying and amazing for us. But at the end of this story, we have 12 baskets of leftovers. That's not wasteful. It's grace-filled and amazing. You see, I believe the leftovers are the whole point of the story. Jesus distributes the food to the people, and it would have been miracle enough if one lunch fed all those people. But there are leftovers, and we know it. But why? You see, this feeding is a sign of the kingdom. There are 7 such signs or miracles in John's gospel. This is a sign of God's grace, and it's an attempt to teach us a powerful lesson about God's love. We see that even the practically impossible can be faithfully accomplished in Christ. But there is more. There is always so much more. In fact, there are 12 baskets more. You see, when the grace of God acts in our lives, God fills the need, but always with more grace, with more love, which always has much, much more to spare. With God, there are always leftovers. There's always excess. There's always extravagance. And Jesus calls attention to those leftovers. He tells the disciples, gather up the fragments so nothing may be lost. Jesus wants us to make sure that the leftovers aren't lost as we then continue to use them. As we then continue to share God's love, there is always an abundance of God's grace so that we can continue to share abundantly of God's love all the time, both in those wondrous, miraculous moments and in the ordinary, normal, boring ones. The love of God pours into our lives to overflowing. Just as Jesus fed the entire crowd to begin with, and then there was leftovers to go and feed others. Jesus' death on the cross saves us from our own sinful self. But it also provides so much more grace that we can, we should, we must share that love with anyone and everyone we can. There is no holy Tupperware for us to hoard any of the extras. The love of God, so extravagantly and generously shared with us, is then to be given away. Because with God, there is always more and more and more love for us to share. Today, we are confronted with a challenge. Where to find enough for everyone who needs it? Faithfully, may we find enough and more than enough in God's grace. Today, we are part of that hillside crowd on whom God has miraculously showered His grace. May we see that in God, grace is more than enough. Today we are asked, what are you going to do with the leftovers? Do we throw them away? No. Do we hoard them for later? No. Let us go and discover ways to share, to spread, to bring all of those into the lives of others now and always. Here's to the leftovers. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance and celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, rooted in Christ and sustained by the Spirit, we offer our prayers for the church, for the world, and all of creation. We pray for the church. Bless the ministries of our neighboring congregations. Empower churches throughout the world and encourage missionaries who accompany global neighbors. Kindle in us a spirit of collaboration that all people may know your loving works. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for creation. Send rain to lands experiencing drought and come to the aid of those enduring sweltering heat. Nurture wheat and barley crops grown for the nourishment of your people and conserve aquatic habitats and fish populations. Lord, in your mercy, We pray for those who govern. Cast out arrogance, selfishness, and corruption, and instruct those who lead to practice compassion and humility. Inspire them with a vision of the common good and a commitment to ensure that all who hunger are fed. Lord, in your mercy, We pray for those bowed down by heavy burdens, those who are unemployed or underemployed, those unable to find affordable housing, and those without health insurance. Console those who grieve and hear the cries of those who call to you for healing. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this assembly. Deepen our resolve to use what we have to serve those who are in need. When we worry that we do not have enough resources for ministry, assure us of your abundance. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for those who have died. As you sustained them through all their days, so dwell in our hearts, that we may have the power to comprehend with all the saints the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Lord, in your mercy, we lift these and all our prayers to you, O God, confident in the promise of your saving love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Have a beautiful day and a blessed week as you go into the world with hope.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Stop us, and if our God is with us, then what could stand us?